Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is December 16th, 2015, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly lunch and learn. We are back doing Parshat HaShavua after a two-week break where we studied Chanukah. Today we study Parshat Vayigash, and let's start in the Chumashim on page 96, which is Sefer Bamidbar Perek Mem Dalet, which is the end of last week's parsha, Parshat Miketz. And so what I'd like to do today is introduce you to a very interesting commentary on the Torah, known as the Ralbag, Rav Levi ben Gershon. He is known in English as Gersonides. And he lived from 1288 to 1344. So he's from the time of the Rishonim. And he was a philosopher, a Talmud scholar, and he also wrote a very interesting commentary on the Torah. He's very much a student of Rambam in terms of his approach to Jewish thought. And one of the things he did, which is makes his commentary stand out, is that at the end of each section of the Torah, he sort of lists what he calls toalot, sort of practical lessons that one can derive from the Torah. In this case, it's practical lessons from what people did, because we're still dealing with this parts of the Torah where it's mostly, you know, narrative and not law. So it's very, very interesting how he does this. And we're going to, by way of looking at a few episodes in this week's Parsha, get to know the Ralbag a little bit. This is a very, very dramatic Parsha, Parshat Vayigash, because it starts off with a very lengthy speech by Yehuda, where he's trying to save Binyamin. If you remember, Binyamin is now going to be imprisoned, because they found Yosef planted in Binyamin's sack the goblet, and so he's framed, but no one knows that he's framed. And Yosef says, I'm going to keep him as a prisoner. And then Yehuda steps up, and we'll see what he does in a moment. And then, of course, the drama really grows when Yosef reveals himself finally to his brothers and says, Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef, Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? And then the drama increases even when Yosef and Yaakov are reunited for the first time after a 22-year separation. Mm-hmm. So there is a ton of drama in this week's Parsha. We're going to tap into some of it. So at the end of the Parsha, on page 96, Yehuda says, verse 16, Vayomer Yehuda, ma nomar la adoni, ma nedaber, ma netzadak. What can we say to you, my Lord, meaning Yosef? How can we plead? How can we prove our innocence? Hello, kim matzat avon avadecha. God has uncovered the crime of your servants. Hinenu avadim la adoni, gam anachnu, gam asher nimtza hagavia biyado. Here we are slaves, all of us, and the one who you found the goblet in his possession. If you remember, what did Yehuda say? Yehuda said at one point. Hold on one second. We look back onto page 95. Yosef says to them, "You know, why are you treating me this way? Why did you steal from me?" And in verse number 7, Vayomru elav, lama yedaber avni kedrim ha'elech chalilu avadecha meyasod kedavar hazeh. Why do you speak to us this way? We would never do such a thing. Hein kesef asher matzanu b'fiyam tachtenu hashivenu elecha me'eretz kanan ve'ech nignov mi'beit adonecha kesef ozahav. We return the money. And how would we steal anything from you? Asher yimsa ito me'avadecha v'ameit. And they say, all right, if whoever has the whoever has it will die, and the rest of us will be servants. Vayomer gam atak ki divreichem kein hu asher yimatze ito yeli eved va'atem tiyu nikiyim. So Yosef changes the rules a little bit and says, no, no. Even though he says, as you said, meaning I'm going to keep whoever stole it as a slave, and the rest of you are going to go free. And they open up, of course, and they find it in Binyamin's sack. Okay? So Yehuda realizes that now they're in trouble, right? Because if you remember, Yaakov was very hesitant to send Binyamin to begin with, because he said, I lost Yosef. I can't even stand the thought of losing Binyamin. And Yehuda says, don't worry, I promise you on the life of my children, I'm going to bring Binyamin back. And now what's happening? Yosef says, Binyamin's not going back. He's my slave. And he doesn't know. Again, the brothers don't know he's Binyamin yet. He's Yosef yet. So here's, so now we have the speech, on the famous speech. Vayigashi lav Yehuda, vayomer bi Adoni, daber nav decha, davar ba'aznei Adoni, v'al yichar apcha ba'avadech kimoch kaparo. Yehuda gives this whole long speech. What does he say at the end? At the end of the speech, he says on page 97, Ki abdecha aravet hana'ar. Now your servant, meaning me, has pledged himself for the boy. Right? Ki abdecha aravet hana'ar me'im avi le'mor im lo avi enu elecha v'chatati la'vi kol hayamim. If I do not bring the boy back, I shall stand guilty before my father forever. So what does he say? V'yata, yeshev na avdecha tachat hanar eved ladoni. Let me be a slave for you forever. V'hanar yalem echav. And let the boy go up back to his father. Ki eich ele el aviv hanar enenu iti. How can I possibly go up to my father without the boy? Pen ere bira asher yimtza et avi. Let me not be witness to the woe that would overtake my father. I mean, that's really an amazing thing, right? He's willing to give himself up as a slave to Yosef in order that Binyamin goes free. And then we read, Lo yachol Yosef v'tapek l'chol hanitzavim elav v'yikra hotziyu kol ish me'alai. Right? He kicks everyone out. And in Pasuk Gimel, v'yemer Yosef el echav, ani Yosef ha'od avi chai. I am Yosef, is my father still well, is my father still alive? That's the opening drama of this parsha. Okay, so now what's very interesting here is what are obviously Yosef's brothers now afraid of?
Revenge.
Right, they're afraid of revenge. He knows what they did to him. They sold him, and he's afraid of revenge. So right off the bat, Yosef tries to appease them or ease their concern. Let's read Pasuk 4, Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Yosef el echav gishu elai. Vayigashu. Come closer. And they do. Vayomer ani Yosef achichem asher michartem oti mitzrayma. I am your brother that you sold to Egypt. V'yata, however, al te'atzvu. Don't be distressed or reproach yourselves because you sold me here. It was to save life that God sent me ahead of you.
This is already been 2 years of famine. And now there's another 2 years of another 2 years are going to pass. There's already been 2 years of famine. Another 2 years are going to pass. Another 5 years are going to pass, and there's not going to be no yield or anything from the ground, right? Va'yishlacheni Elohim lifnechem latsum lachem she'erit ba'aretz ulachayot lachem lefetah gadola. God has sent me ahead of you to ensure your survival on earth and to save your lives in an extraordinary deliverance. V'ata lo atem shilachtem otihena. It was not you who sent me here, ki Elohim. But God, and he made me a father to Paro, lord of all his household, and ruler over the whole land of Egypt. Okay, so he tells his brothers to relax. And on this, the Ralbag says something very interesting. And let's turn to the packet that I gave you, page 1, where the A is. Everyone see that? Hatoelet Hashlishi. So the third thing the Ralbag says we can learn from this story so far is Vehu Sheraoi Lishalem Sheyimchol Lemi Shegimalahu Ra'a. Right? It's proper to forgive one who wronged you. Even though you have the ability to take revenge against the person, hello, tireh Yosef hashalem. It's worthwhile the shalem, a complete person. What makes one a complete person? The Ralbag is saying, if you could be forgiven. Why? Hello, tireh Yosef hashalem lo dai shemachal la'achim. Not only did Yosef forgive his brothers, right? Hara hanifla asher gimaluhu, right? The Ralbag does not at all diminish the terrible thing that the brothers did to him, right? He calls it hara hanifla, the terrible or awful or awesome evil that the brothers did. Not only did he forgive that, about Ratzaim Zela Hafis Datam, he also wanted to ease them, to ease their conscience. Uliva Elahem Shehem Logimaluhu Ra, about Hayazes Fibam El Kashem. And to explain to them that they did not do him any wrong, raw from Hashem. Leman Asa Osek Hayom Hazel Hachayot Amrav, in order that I could save you. Right, this actually, I mean, it's really an amazing thing if you think about what Yosef did. Mm-hmm. Right, they had no good intention. Their intention was some of them wanted to kill him. And they know, let's not kill him, let's just throw him into this pit. Well, what do they think was going to happen in the pit?
He was going to die
in the pit. And then luckily, the Yishmaelim passed by and they said, oh, let's sell him. What if the Yishmaelim hadn't passed by? Mm-hmm. Were they going to just leave him in, it sounds like they were going to just leave him in the pit. Yeah, but he's gone. But that wasn't the plan of the brothers. That was his own plan. That was Yehuda. He comes back. I think Yehuda. Yeah. He comes back and he's gone. So it sounds like the brothers will leave him in the pit. Yeah. But he says, no, I'm not only not angry at you, this was all for the good. This is what God wanted. It's a very high level of forgiveness.
But didn't they say that in this pit, there were snakes and other poisonous animals?
So that's the Midrash. The Midrash says, the Torah doesn't say that. The Midrash says it was empty, and no Mayim. Vabor reik ein bo Mayim. Which I think may be the Torah's way of saying that he was going to die in there. There was no water for him to drink.
Not a well.
It wasn't a well. And then it could be that they didn't throw him into a well, meaning they didn't drown him. But they also didn't put him in a place where he was going to live. They didn't actively kill him, but it was going to be...
they don't do it directly.
Right. Indirect.
What kind of pit was this? Was it dug by somebody, or...
Good question. There's no indication, just a pit. Just a pit. Shalom. Okay, so here, you just have to take one of those. That and this.
Page 90.
Let me ask you a question. Yehuda would not pass the pit that he was standing up for Benjamin, what will be the result?
I don't know. It sounds like Yosef was going to send the... it sounds like this is what broke Yosef. Yehuda's willingness to give himself up is what finally pushed Yosef over the edge to reveal himself.
Because he saw that the brothers and
At least Yehuda, at least one of them. Plus he had overheard them saying, we're being punished because of what we did to our brother. But here, I mean, what the Ralbag is telling us, back to the Ralbag, is that Yosef was almost like shalem, he was perfect, it was such a high level altruistic, selfless thing to do. It's one thing to forgive them. It's another to say and to believe that this really had nothing to do with them, that this was all God's plan. I mean, that is a very high level of emunah, of faith, right? So don't be upset that you sold me here. Kilu mechia shalachani Elohim lefnechem. God sent me here to be a lifeline for you. Right? They must have been terribly embarrassed at this point. And maybe they were going to start some infighting about whose fault it was. Or, oh, well, I didn't. It wasn't me. I was just following along, right? It could have really torn apart the family. So he's, in order to also maintain shalom bayit, he just forgives. La'otzem hashgachato behem, b'amar lehem shalo yirgizu baderech. And he also tells them, right, when you're going back, don't fight. Just go back. La'tet lehem kavod, natan lehem chalifot smalot. Not only that, he also gives them new clothing. Right? So, I mean, think of all the levels. The Ravad really goes to this with a fine-tooth comb. He forgives them. Okay, fine. Not only does he forgive them, he says they're guiltless. Right? When you forgive someone, what's the implication? That you were guilty, but I forgive you. Then, so he said, don't be upset. You have no guilt even. Because it really wasn't you, it was really Hashem. Hashem was using you. And then, not only that, he gives them presents, which were in order to make them feel honored. Because now they're going to walk out of the palace. Everyone's going to know they're Yosef's brothers. And so he wants them to be viewed in an honorable way by the Egyptians. And so he gifts them chalifot smalot. He gifts them brand new clothing. So he really goes, right, so the Rambam is pointing out to us just how far Yosef was willing to go. Also, maybe the Rambam is also suggesting, so he wants to avoid any more, right, enough family strife, let's just move on.
Then the brothers, then they have any kind of clue of what was really going on, because at one point, Joseph was supposed to have dinner with them. And the Egyptians normally would not eat at the same table with Hebrews.
Right.
Joseph ate right. at the same
table. Yeah, it's a good question. It seems like they had no idea.
But still, even with that clue.
It seems like even with that clue. Right. It seems that they had no idea. Maybe they saw something was fishy, but they didn't come to the conclusion that he was there,
even
that he was Joseph.
Normally,
they must have been right. Right.
Did the Egyptians now, know that he was Jewish?
No.
I don't think so.
So then they wouldn't eat at the same table.
No. They thought he was Egyptian.
They thought he was
Egyptian.
They
thought he was Egyptian. Okay. So.
But still, he had dinner with his brothers, and normally the Egyptians would not have.
Right. So what we're seeing here is the Ralbag viewing this in a specific way. What's also interesting here is, you know, sometimes we think that the best way to move past something is to talk it out. Let's just talk the whole thing out and go through everything that happened so everyone's intentions are on the table and we can all understand each other.
And what does Yosef do?
We're not talking about it. Right? He doesn't allow them to apologize. He doesn't allow them to say, well, you remember you were so spoiled. And he doesn't want to rehash the whole thing. Sometimes, you know, in contemporary times, we're told the best way to get over a situation is to rehash it. And let's just go through. And maybe here we're seeing, maybe that's not going to work. Sometimes both parties have to agree just to move on. Now, certainly in this case, it was much easier for the brothers to move on, right? Them, hey, you don't want to talk about it? That's fine with me. But Yosef is the one who's willing to say, we're just moving on.
It's very, pretty strange, because when the brothers described Jacob's reaction to Joseph, but then he does, and he tells, I mean, he is probably...
Whose reaction? There's no indication that Yaakov ever finds out about this.
No. But Yaakov, they are describing Yaakov's reaction to the story.
Right.
Right. And they say that when they're describing, it says, "Ve'yomer decha avi elenu, atem yedatem kishnayim yada ishti."
Right.
So the fact is that, I mean, Yosef knew that they knew that nothing, that
he doesn't know.
That he was not the that they was not the
right, but Yaakov, but Yaakov still thinks he's dead.
Because they brought him there.
But he's describing
the brothers are describing what Yaakov thinks.
Right, but on what merit? They never bothered correcting him.
Why would they correct him? They don't want him to know that they sold Yosef. Why would the brothers correct him?
The whole time
the brothers want Yaakov to think that Yosef's dead.
That's right.
So why would they correct him?
No, when they found him.
That's my point.
I'm not following your question.
The fact is that he said, I don't want to dwell into it.
Right.
Okay, because whatever you're going to tell me, it's going to be a lie.
Oh, I don't know. At this point, when they say Akhtarav Tarak, at this point, they don't know who Yosef is. And Yosef doesn't...
Right.
They don't, right, but, once, but once Yosef says, I'm your brother, I know what happened, so that's obviously a lie.
Correct.
So, but why does he think they're going to continue to lie? He knows the story. How can they lie? He knows the story. He was there.
That was after the fact. Right?
No, Yosef was there when it happened.
At that point, he did not reveal after all the work.
Correct.
He still didn't reveal it.
Right.
Right,
so why would he think now, after he reveals himself, that they would lie more? They can't.
He knows that they lie. And he doesn't want to dwell into it. That's why.
Well, he could have said, why'd you do it? He could have said, why'd you do it?
Why do you think that was right?
There could have been a million and one questions he had.
That's exactly.
But he decided not to.
That's because
they lied. Because he just didn't want to, he wanted to move on.
But it doesn't matter.
I don't think they even told Yosef that the father thinks after that.
By the way, it could be that this at that moment when the brothers say that after 22 years that Yaakov, that we told Yaakov. Remember, Yosef doesn't know what the brothers told Yaakov.
You're right. That's what I'm saying.
So it's quite possible that this is the first time that Yosef hears and knows that his father thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
Right? For all Yosef knows, Yaakov thinks he's alive and hasn't done anything to try to find him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Right? Because we have no idea. Yosef has no idea what Yaakov knows. All right? So, okay, let's move on. Let's do more of the Ralbag. So then, after this event, after the big reveal, right, what happens? Yosef says to the brothers as follows. Let's look in chapter 45, Pasuk Tet. So it's on page 98. Maharu va'alu elavi, v'amartam elav, ko amar bincha Yosef, samani Elohim la'adon l'chol mitraim, rida elai al tamo. Go back to my father, and tell him, God has made me lord over all of Egypt. Come down with me without delay. V'yashavta v'eretz Goshen, v'yita karov elai, ata uvanecha uvenei vanecha v'tzoncha uvekarcha v'chol asher lach. And dwell in Goshen, where you will be near me, you and your children, your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that is yours. Okay? So what does Yosef want? Yosef wants Yaakov and all the family to leave, it sounds like, to leave Canaan, right, Eretz Yisrael, to leave the land of Israel, right, and to move to live in Goshen, right, in Egypt. The problem is, now you tell me what happens. Let's look at Pasuk Chafchet. They go, this is after they travel back to Canaan, and look at Pasuk 26 on page 99. Vayagidu lo lemor, od Yosef chai. This is amazing, right? What that must have felt like. Yosef's still alive. V'chihu Moshe b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. And he's the ruler over all of Egypt.
Vayafag libo ki lo hemin lahem. He doesn't believe them at first. Vayedabru elav et kol divrei Yosef asher diber alayhem. Vayarat agalot asher shalach Yosef laseit oto vatechi ruach Yaakov avihem. This is actually unclear exactly why now, what happened in this pasuk that all of a sudden Yaakov does believe them. Right? He doesn't believe them, and then he sees the agalot. Well, the agalot could have come from anyone. So that's why Rashi and others say that the agalot was a hidden symbol between Yaakov and Yosef. That before Yosef left, he and Yaakov were studying Jewish laws having to deal with certain things, and that these wagons that Yosef sent were a reference to that, and Yosef knew it, and Yaakov knew it, and that's how Yaakov knew that Yosef was still alive.
What were they studying? Because the Torah hadn't been given.
It's true. That's a good question. I don't want to get into that. That's a very, very good question. Okay. But now, so what? Now look what Yaakov says. Vayomer Yisrael, right? That's Jacob. Jacob says, "Rav, enough. Oh, Yosef ben Chai, my son Joseph is alive. El chaver enu b'ter mamut. I must go see him before I die." What's the difference between what Yosef said and what Yaakov said to do?
Yosef comes in. Jacob wants to go to visit.
Right.
Yosef wants him to leave.
Right. It sounds like Yaakov says, "I'm not going to move. I just want to go visit. I want to go see him before I die." Presumably, he's going to go see him and go back to Canaan. What does Yosef want? Yosef wants his father to relocate with all his family. Especially because there's going to be 5 more years of hunger, right?
So
he wants to take care of it. So that's very interesting, right? That if you look here, look on the top B, page 2B. Okay, page 2 is the flip side of side one. El Chaver Enu. Here, flip the page over. No. Open the packet.
Page number 2.
Right there. Yeah. Page number 2B. El Chaver Enu. Hine lo nisratze Yaakov l'ashem v'mitrayim. Kemo shashalach lo Yosef. Yaakov did not want to dwell, to move, to live in Egypt like Yosef asked him to. He wanted to stay in Canaan, which is the chosen land. We already know that was chosen by God. That's why here in this sentence, Yaakov doesn't say, "Well, I'm going to go down to dwell there." About Amar, he only says, "I'm going to go down to visit him, to see him, too." So the Rabbah said, right, his intention was to go back. Now that explains what happens in the next section. Look what happens. They start to travel. Right, on page 99. They start to travel. And what does God say? Vayisai Yisrael b'chol ha'shelo v'yavo b'eir ha'shava v'yizbach z'vachim l'elohei aviv yitzhak. Right, they get to Be'er Sheva. They're getting close to the border. Right, someone living in the south. Right, they're getting close to the border. And so Yaakov brings a korban. Vayomer Elohim liYisrael v'marot alayla vayomer Yaakov vayomer hinei. Vayomer Anochi ha'el Elokei avicha. So he has a prophecy. Yaakov says, "I am the Lord, the God of your father. Al tiramer damitrayma. Fear not, go down to Egypt." What do you mean, fear not? Where has Yaakov expressed any fear about going down to Mitzrayim? So according to the Ralbag, this makes perfect sense. What's God telling him? What's God telling you, according to the Ralbag, what's God telling Yaakov?
To obey Yosef.
You're going to live there. Right? Why would he be afraid just to go to visit? Right? Yaakov doesn't want to go live in Eretz Yisrael. He's in Mitzrayim. He's, according to this, afraid to live in Mitzrayim. He doesn't want to permanently leave Eretz Israel. So he's at this point, before he has this nevuah, what's Yaakov's plan?
To
to go visit his son, to have a little family reunion, and then go back. And then God says, Al tira mirdam mitzrayim. Don't be afraid to go there permanently. Kilagoy gadola simchasham. I'll make you a great nation there. Well, he's not going to make him a great nation there if he just goes for the weekend and goes back. He's only going to make him a great nation there if he stays there. Anochi eredim chametzrayima. Vanochi alcha gamalo. V'yosef yashit yado aleinecha. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to bring you back, and Yosef's hand shall close your eyes. What does that mean, Yosef's hand shall close your eyes? It's scary. You're going to die in Mitzrayim. But don't worry. It's going to be okay. Now, it took a long time for it to be okay. A couple of, 400 years of slavery, right? Or 250 years, depending on how you're counting. But, right. So this is really amazing. Now we understand. He was afraid. Did he ever express the fear? Yes. He expressed the fear when Yosef says, come live with me. And Yaakov says, let's go down and visit. I'm going to go see him before I die. And God says, yes, you're going to go see him, but you're going to stay, and you are, in fact, going to die in Mitzrayim. Okay, so now we could see another point that the Rabag makes here on page 3. Hatohelet ha. Actually, I meant to do shishi. So you see where it says C on page 3? That's not the one underneath it. Hatohelet hashishi. Who? The midot. Who? She'ein ra'oi la'adam la'asot masa b'mihirut v'kimo. When you're making a big decision, don't rush. Aval ra'oi la'adashayitashay bahem achatishlam lo ha'itzaho genet bagda. You have to literally sit on the question. Think about it, right? Until you are satisfied, chatishlam lo ha'itzaho genet bagda, that you get a perfect answer. Yosef wasn't so quick to agree to what Yosef said about relocating himself to Mitzrayim. Until he was not willing to do it, until he was convinced and then he got good advice. So the Rabbag is saying, don't make a big decision like this, until you carefully weigh the situation and get the best advice possible. Now, for Yaakov, what's the best advice possible? God's advice. Now, by the way, here we're also introduced to something, a very interesting opinion of the Rabbag, which he says explicitly elsewhere. The Rabbag believes, and he goes through a lot of verses in the Bible to prove this, that when a prophet wanted to achieve prophecy, one of the ways he did it was by bringing a karban. That's what he says, right? He says, "V'lazeh asaf ulot lahagia elav hanivuah." Yaakov took action to bring nevuah, so he would get a prophecy from God. That action was, you see, he brought a karban right there. Why else would he bring a karban right there? Nothing happened. It wasn't a karban of thanksgiving. So the Rabbag understands that to be that this is what the avot did sometimes to achieve nevuah. Yeah. They brought a karban.
But that was only mentioned in the avot. But after that, in all the neviim,
Yep, I have to go back and look at the Rabbah. Who else brings karbanot in order to...
For the avot, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember. Okay, so now we're going to see one other very interesting parallel to this. This notion of making sure you plan ahead. So now the Yaakov and his family are coming down to Mitzrayim. And before they get there, Yosef gives them advice. Look in chapter 46, verse 33. This is on page 101. We'll start with number 31, page 101. Vayomer Yosef el Achav, they get there. Vel Beit Aviv, Elev Agida leParo veOmra Elav, Then Yosef said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell news to Paro and say that my brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. Right? Yosef, because Yosef goes up to meet them half, you know, part of the way. Then he says to them, the men are shepherds, they have always been breeders of livestock, and they have brought with them their flocks and herds and all that is theirs. So when Paro summons you and asks you, what is your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been breeders of livestock from the start until now. Both we and our fathers. Goshen, so that you may stay in the region of Goshen, Kito Avat Mitzrayim Kol Roetzon. For all shepherds are poorer than Egypt. So Yosef coaches the family and says, look, the best place for you to live is Goshen. And here's how you're going to be able to get there. When Paro says, what do? Tell them you're shepherds. Once you tell him you're shepherds, he's going to want to put you in a separate section of Egypt because the Egyptians don't like shepherds. And they don't want you roaming around the rest of the population. Right? So Yosef sets this up in advance. Now, it could be that he sets it up in advance because he wants to keep his family separate. He wants them to maintain their own identity. Goshen may be more fertile than other places. So, but you see what he does. He sets it up in advance.
No, they don't become slaves.
Correct. And they also go there to a land where they don't become slaves. But that was sort of the priest. And the priests did not become slaves. And here, so similarly here, the Ravag makes a similar point. Turn to page 4. Number, letter D. What does the Ravag learn from this? V'usha ro'oy la'adam shir emi reshit ha'davar. That a person needs to look at the beginning of an event, what he could arrange for at the end. Even though he wants a certain outcome, right? You want a certain outcome. You have to start thinking a few steps ahead. In order to avoid the pitfalls that may come. Hello, Tirek, he Yosei. Im heyoto chafetz mo'ot sheyavo aviv uveito lemitzrayim, hishadel sheyishvu be'eretz Goshen. He wanted his father and his brothers to come. He made arrangements, or he worked hard to arrange it so that they would come and live in Goshen. Lasir me'em hezekim shefshar shechatshu lahem. He did this one in order to avoid any danger that may come to them if they live in the major cities. Kemo shekadam im shekavar hayah makom ahu nachon meod lahem lemareh. Plus, it was also a good place for them to go in order for them to have for their food for their flock. Ulachilotam behit rabutam and to provide for them. Because they were a lot of people. And so here he made arrangements for them. He told them in advance what to do in order to make it so that Paro would say, go to Goshen. And in fact, that's exactly what happened.
He's manipulating Pharaoh.
Right. So one way to argue, to look at this, is to say that Yosef really followed in the footsteps of his father in this case, right? The meeting between them was very important, but they had to go slowly in making sure that everything was going to come out the way it was. So
So Yaakov goes slowly, and he says, I'm not so quick, I'm not going to be so quick to agree to live there until, and he holds on to that until God gives him a nevuah, a prophecy, and tells him it's okay to live there. Yaakov was concerned about leaving Eretz Canaan, and Yosef also was concerned about their living in Mitzrayim, about their living in Egypt, in order to protect their identity and their family unity and their values. And so he also goes slow and doesn't rush to bring them down. In fact, one could argue that's why Yosef went to meet them part of the way. He wants to literally head them off of the path and make sure that he's able to make sure that they know exactly what to say to Paro, so that when they get there, everything falls into place in the way that that he wants it to. So these two steps, taken by Yaakov and Yosef, they have some relationship to each other. And again, here, as an introduction to the way that the Ralbag does Parshanut, he explains to us, like every classic Parshan, certain aspects of the Pesukim, like he did explain to us why would we think that Yaakov was afraid. He didn't express his fear. Correct, didn't express his fear explicitly, but by saying, I'm going to go down there and see him before I die, that could have been an unstated expression of fear of living in Egypt. And what we also see what the Ralbag does, the Ralbag is able to very nicely take out very practical lessons from what happens in the story, things that are that we could also apply in our lives as well.
Also the fact that when, especially when we grow older, we don't like changes.
Right.
And Yaakov is still done. He has everything around him. Why would he go and start a new endeavor?
Right. That's another interesting take on it. Correct.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. Yeshikov. Thank you, everybody.